Okay, this is it. It took a year to go through Ephesians. And so we are at the end of Ephesians, Ephesians 6:18, and through the rest of the area. And we're looking at the heavy artillery of our spiritual warfare. They save the best to last. So in verse 18, this is what it says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then he has a gracious greeting at the end. Do you see these words boldly twice? Where does it come from? It comes from prayer. When you are praying, and when you, as we look at this heavy artillery of our spiritual warfare, is the prayer, you will speak boldly as you ought to speak. You will speak boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. They go together. So, when it says praying always with all prayer, it's kind of like, why is prayer mentioned twice there, praying in prayer? And supplication in the Spirit. Literally, it says, pray with all kinds of prayers that are available for you to use. You mean there's different kind of prayers? Mm-hmm. Yep, there's different kind of prayers. So, the when of prayer, W-H-E-N, the when of prayer is praying always. Now, does that mean you have to stay up? Well, if the Lord wakes you up at 3, like, what was going on at 2 or 4 or whatever, and the Lord says pray, or you got somebody's face in front of you, then pray. Praying always. So literally, this is what it means. At any time you get a chance, anytime there's an opportunity, no matter where you are or what you're doing, in every season, seize that time to pray. That's literally what that one thing that says pray always means. So I'll go through it again. At any time you get a chance, any time there's an opportunity, no matter where you are or what you're doing, in every season, seize that time to pray. I think that covers it, doesn't it? Isn't that nice? The Greek has, you know, the English has two words, pray always, and the Greek has all those words to explain it. So that's the when of prayer. At any time, where the opportunity gives you, seize the time. The how of prayer is basically verse 19 and 20, what we just read. Being watchful, persevering, being bold. That word utterance is logos. Isn't that interesting? What did we learn about logos? The word, right? Written word. And what is rhema? Spoken word, right? So, watchful, persevering, and bold. Have a constant, earnest, fearless, confident freedom in speaking and asking. Okay? Earnestly, confident, have a freedom in speaking and asking. Now, so we've got the when of prayer, the how of prayer, and now we have the kinds of prayer. And so I put some stuff up on the board so you can write it down and I don't have to talk slowly. Yeah, I just have you guys for half an hour to do this. I have 4 hours at night when I'm teaching, so I can speak, drag it out longer. All right, we have 6 different words for the kinds of prayer that are available to us. So we've got consecration, petition, urgent prayer, thanksgiving prayer. That's not what you say at Thanksgiving around the table, praying Thanksgiving. Supplication and intercession. Those are the 6 kinds. Okay? So let's look at the first one, consecration. Consecration is the one that's used most common 127 times in the New Testament. And it, there's two words for it in the Greek, and it means to be up close and like a upfront contact, and also making a vow. So it's making a vow upfront and close to somebody. So if you think about this, remember in 1 Samuel 1:11, Hannah, when she's praying for a baby, right? She's going to the temple, prays, and Eli looks at her, and there's already something wrong with Eli because he thinks she's drunk that early or something, but she's just praying for a child. And of course she had Samuel, and she what? She made a vow to dedicate him to the Lord. Okay? So it's intimate contact with Father God. And the idea behind making a vow is you're making a sacrifice, or you're surrendering something precious in the answer to that prayer. So she surrendered Samuel to be raised in the temple under Eli as a servant of the Lord, a priest. So it's sacrificing, surrendering something that's precious to you, and you're offering up for the Lord's service. So you're saying, Lord, I'm up front, I'm contacted right in front of you, I'm making a vow, it's a consecration to you, and I'm surrendering something that's precious to me. And it doesn't have to be a child necessarily. It could be, you know, your life vocation. I remember, you know, running from God, knowing early on that it was supposed to be ministry, everybody else saying that to you. I remember Ron on a Thursday night saying, I want to tell you that you have a mantle of ministry on you. And I was just confirming, but it's like, And believe me, your legs are not strong or long enough to run from God at all. So don't try it. Just weary yourself out. He just sits there and goes, okay, you ready? Are you done? Are you done? So there's the consecration. That's the one that's most common. The next one is the petition. That's 40 times in the New Testament. Okay? And it's crying out to God for his help. And it basically is saying, I am insufficient in myself to meet my own needs. Well, we all should do that anyways, because we are. We're all insufficient to meet our own needs. And if you want a picture of this, in Hebrews 5:7, Jesus, in his humanity, says this. He prays this. He says, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Where did he do that? The garden. But remember, nevertheless, that word in there, you know, if there's another way, Father, let's go that way. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. You know, it's really interesting. That word nevertheless was also used in Joshua. Remember when we studied in Joshua? And the spies, the 12 spies went in, right? And they come back with a report. And they say, yes, the land is full of milk and honey, and look at the vines that we brought back with the clusters of grapes and everything else. Nevertheless, there's giants in the land. Isn't that interesting? Here's 12 spies that go in there, and 10 say, nevertheless, there's giants, and they wandered for 40 years. And here's Jesus saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Father, and went to the cross and saved us all. So it's very interesting that the insufficiency to meet your own needs, and they're crying out to God and saying, God, help me. So that's the petition one. It's also in James 5:17. Elijah prayed earnestly. That's that word, prayed earnestly, recognizing his own inability to do anything. So it's a humility of saying, I'm utterly dependent upon God. And we've talked about this before, but what is humility, or what is being humble? It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking less about yourself. That's what humility is. It's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking less about yourself. You're thinking about God, you're thinking about circumstance that's before you and pouring out to him, and not about pity poor me. So Elijah was, it says, he's a person just like we are, and he prayed, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That's earnest prayer, right? his own inability to do anything significant for God. So far we've got consecration and we've got petition. Now we have the urgent prayer. Urgent prayer is about 80 times in the New Testament. And it's an asking and also a demand blessing. Demanding boldly. There's that boldly. There's two times where it says boldly in 19 and 20. Okay? For personal needs to be met, tangible needs. God, I need this. So in some ways, because it says boldly, it's almost like I'm demanding something of God. I got this chutzpah, and I'm standing up in front of God, and God, you need to do something. Well, this is what it is. It's not being so brash, but it's asking based on what the relationship is with the Lord. Now, if you haven't talked to God in quite a while, you know, and you answer the phone, and he's on the other end of the line, you go, who's this? But if you've got the relationship there, then guess what? Father. You know, it's like in Braveheart when the king of Ireland always was talking up in the heavens and saying, Father, you know, yes, Father. Like he's like got a real intimate relationship with the Lord. So John 15:7. This is what John 15:7 says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. And that sounds like, okay, Lord, you know, like he's your homie or something. No, this is what it really says. And again, this is breaking down the words again. I'll go slow, but this is what it means. If you permanently and habitually lodge, dwell, and abide and remain continually in me, I'll go back over it, and my words habitually lodge, dwell, abide in you, strongly ask for whatever you are in need of, and it will happen to you. That's what that means. So, hey, you know what? If you're habitually and permanently lodged with the Lord, dwelling with him, abiding in him, and remaining continually in him, then you go ahead and ask. Because one, you're going to have the mind of Christ in what you're asking, so it's not like, you know, if God doesn't want you to have the Mercedes and you want it, sorry. But it's getting the mind of Christ, and it's not going to be something outside of his will because you are permanently, habitually lodging. You know, when you go to a lodge, what do? You sleep there, right? You stay there. You eat there. Dwelling with somebody, abiding, and remaining continually in me. And that my words also do those things, then you can strongly ask for whatever you are in need of, and it will happen. Wow. Anybody got a relationship like that with the Lord? Anybody have glimpses of that? So yeah, sometimes you're walking really, really tight with the Lord and stuff, you know? But he wants us to be permanently and habitually making a habit of it. And I think that's the thing that is challenging for all of us, is to habitually make the time and to stay with him. You know, I come up here and pray during the day because, you know, guys don't need to come in because they're all healed up, you know, that. So my schedule's not as full as Tony's. But I will come up here and I will pray. And if nobody's up here, and the one thing I have to do is leave the cell phone downstairs. Do you know how many times I'll come up here, get all set, ready, the cell phone rings? What? Or the water man comes or whatever. I mean, you know, I could do it any time during the week, right? The water man comes or somebody comes up or show the place or something. So I have to really pray and leave the phone downstairs and just have quiet because I can't pray down there. I have to pray up here. Okay. Thanksgiving is the next one, 15 times in the New Testament. And to offer up prayers of thanksgiving are wonderful feelings and good sentiments that freely flow out of our heart. And it's usually in response to something. So It's the thanking, you know, remember Ephesians 1 way back there? I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's that thanks. 1 and 2 Thessalonians that we're studying. We give thanks to God always for you all. Those are the southern Christians. Ones from down south. So, do we give thanks for what God has done in someone's life? Do we give thanks in every occasion, in every way possible? In all things, give thanks. And I know that's hard, but even in the last couple of weeks where we went through, it's like, you know what? God allows you to go through trials because he trusts you. It's not because you did something wrong. It's not because he left. He allows you to go through things because he trusts you. When I'm reading this book on the Gospel according to Job, and I'm using it in class, and it's done for the class what it did for me this summer in reading it. It's like an epiphany. And it's like looking at Job and you wonder, why did he go through that thing? Was this some cosmic chess game that him and Satan were playing up in heaven? No. It's because God knew it was in Job more than Job knew it was in Job. And he trusted him to go through this and entrusted him with it. It's like, really? Don't point me out up there, okay? So that the enemy goes, I'm going to go after him. But he trusts us. He actually trusted Job to go through that and knew what was in Job and knew the metal in him, the metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, metal, in Job. And he came through it. And it was like a gift. It was like he entrusted this to Job. And Job passed the test. His friends didn't, but Job passed the test. Okay? So in every occasion, in every way possible, do we give thanks for what God has done? That's the Thanksgiving prayers. Supplication is 5 times in the New Testament. And that one is to fall into the presence of the Lord, and it's really like a childlike prayer where you just need to enjoy a special time of prayer with the Lord, and he showers you with his love and acceptance. Now, some of you had good parents and some of you didn't have good parents, you know, where they just want to just snuggle up with you. And I remember one of our sons, Tony, said, you know, would you like this candy or would you like a hug? And he said, oh, I want a hug. That's basically a hug from God, okay? Showers us with his love and acceptance. If you want to write a couple scriptures, Romans 11:2 and 1 Timothy 2:1 and 4:5. 1 Timothy 2:1 and 4:5. That's the childlike faith, the childlike supplication, falling into the presence of the Lord. The last one is intercession. And it's really interesting because we talk about intercession a lot. You know, we're interceding for things like even waking up in the middle of the night. But this is the rarest form, and it's only one time in the New Testament. And this is where it is, Romans 8:26. And guess who it's used in connection with? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that means to fall in on behalf of someone else or rescue them. You're in need of being rescued, renewed, or delivered from a predicament. And it's the Holy Spirit makes the intercession for you. Now, does that mean you're not going to do intercessory prayer? No. It may be called one of these other things. I don't know. But this one in particular is for the Spirit that makes intercession for you. Isn't that cool? So, when is that prayer offered? Okay, delivering from predicaments. In your infirmities. When we know we are weak, we are open to the Holy Spirit's work in us. It's like, I don't even know what to say. Well, then you know what? Just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit pray for you. So, there's a lot of different things as far as final thoughts on prayer. Like, here's the thing. We can write a couple of these down. Prayer isn't asking for things from God, but asking things for God. Matthew 6:10. Lord, what do you want in this situation? How do I need to be praying in this situation? I know we have our gimme list, you know. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. But it's more asking things for God. God, what do you want for this? What do you want in this person's life? What do you want in this situation? What do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray? Prayer should be the first step in meeting any challenge. You know, we should pray first and not last. And I don't know about you, but my prayer life sometimes gets really rusty and old, you know. You probably need to listen to the words of Rushing Wind. Rushing wind, blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me, for I am born again. That's the song, blowing the dust out. And you know what, folks? Most of us are old in the Lord. That doesn't mean that we have to be old and dusty. No. Prayer is the key to the day and the lock on the night. It is. Psalm 5:3-4. It talks about being in the, in, you know, like in the morning pray. But you can also pray at noontime, and you can also pray at night. You know, Daniel prayed at noon. He prayed at people. There's prayers at night, prayer in the morning. But an old friend of ours told us that, his old mama told him, that prayer is the key to the day and the lock on the night. Start your day and finish it with prayer. Now, I would like you to try something for yourselves first. And Paul's going to hand out these two pages on crafted prayer. And I want you to test this out, okay? This is not, oh boy, that's nice. We got six things and we can list them all. And we have them on the back of our bulletin. And I'll put that away someplace and, you know, maybe put inside my Bible and look at it. This is an outline of steps to crafted prayer. So I want you to practice this because we're going to come back to this. So in the meantime, I want you to take some time and get used to writing some things down that the Lord's shown you. I think we're getting more and more open to that. I thank Alyssa for sharing about how she's, you know, when she prays and she has something to share with somebody and stuff like that. We need to be open to that. But there's a template. There's some little things that you can do and read through. And then there's an actual worksheet on the second page. Okay, so I'll wait till Paul hands those out, and then we'll do that. Okay, so the first page, it says steps to crafted prayer. So what you want to do is you want to read those scripture verses that are listed, like Ecclesiastes 5:1-7. It's like, where's Ecclesiastes? Well, it's part of the wisdom, right? It's after Proverbs, right? Does everybody know where that is? Proverbs? Yeah, it's in the middle, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, right? Yeah, go to Psalms and hang a right. That's right. So this is what Ecclesiastes 5:1-7 says. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth. And let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. That's why he gave you one mouth and two ears, to listen twice as much as you talk. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. So basically it's saying, get yourself prepared, okay, to listen. Keep updating your information about God's love, his purposes, his ways, reading relevant Bible verses, and there's 2 Timothy 3 you can read. Review and meditate on crafted prayers that are in the Bible, and here's a few that are listed for you. You can read those. Steps for the individual. Be thankful to God for his promises towards you. What did we just talk about? Thanksgiving, right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Okay. Be thankful to God for what he has already done. Begin to worship God in your thanksgiving and brings you into his presence. Come to a place of stillness inside and prepare your heart to listen to God. Psalm 46. Clarify and simplify the current area for crafted prayer. So you may be, Lord, I need wisdom for such and such, and I'm waiting on you. Look, I know what I read at the beginning of the day about listening to all these voices in your head and stuff like that. When you prepare your heart and prepare yourself to listen to the Lord, you've got to trust that the Holy Spirit in you is going to start moving out these little thoughts that come. I remember praying when Micah was born, and Tony went into the C-section, and I got down on my knees, and right away came, your wife and child are going to die, and you're going to have to raise those two boys by yourself. I'm telling you, that was right in my head. Now, what am I going to do with that thought? I know, it's like, what? So I start reading through the Psalms. As every time I'm confused, I start reading through the Psalms. Even my daily devotion, a lot of times, unless I'm reading through to prepare this, I'm reading through the Psalms. So this is, I'm reading through the Psalms, right? And I get through Psalm 145, 146, 147. I'm praying out loud on my knees in the hospital. I don't know what's going on with this birth. And I come to this. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, to those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates and he has blessed your children within you. And he makes peace within your borders and fills you with the finest of wheat, literally the fat of the wheat, the grain. What is that? That's the thing that sprouts. Soon as I got done reading that, they came in and said, Mr. DePauli, come, why don't you come see your son? He's in the incubator. I had to take those thoughts captive because they were overwhelming. And then the Lord just had me reading through that, and I got done with that, and it was like, he makes peace in your borders. He's blessed the children within you like the finest of wheat, the fat of the wheat. So clarify a current area. Ask the Lord to show you what he wants to accomplish first in the situation and second in you through this time. Then seek to discover what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are praying about the situation. There's some scriptures there. Gather the thoughts and words that God gives you and write them down. They could be phrases. They could be just words. Just write them down. Take the thoughts and words back to the Lord and pray for further clarification. Write down any further insight you receive. In a place of stillness, craft a prayer that includes key elements, words, ideas, and phrases that God has made known to you. Don't rush or push it. Take your crafted prayer back to the Lord. Ask for confirmation or alteration, if necessary, until you are confident that you can be, as you can be, that you have the mind of God on how to pray. Move into a time of proclamation of what God will do based on your faith in what God is and your understanding of his will. Accept the fact that God will do things in his own time, in his own way. And as God leads you, continue to pray and proclaim with confidence that what God showed you until the resolution comes. Okay, so that's the steps to it. And then the little sheet on the back is a crafted prayer worksheet for you to individually do this. Basically goes along with what's in the front, but it leaves some spaces there as you can, you know, fill it in and make an outline. Try it. You like it. Practice it. And, you know, we'll come back and we'll talk about, you know, what did people get? Give it some time. But at least that's a little template about writing down as listening to the Lord about something that you're praying about and having resolve about it. Okay? So, we're done with Ephesians. Wow, a whole year. I tell people that, you know, that come in, I said, hey, we finished up Ephesians. It took us a year? A year? My goodness, why did it take so long? I said, because there's a lot of stuff in there. It's only six chapters. Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff in there. So we're done. And so we had one that didn't come through. We're going to retape it. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to upload these to the website. Just like Joshua's there and Acts is there. But also what we'll do is I'll talk to Steve. Some people have said we were, you know, in and out during the summer about the armor of God. And so what we'll do is we'll take that whole sequence with the armor, and we'll, if you want that, let him know that, and we'll do some CDs around that so you can just pop them in the car when you're driving or something. So, all right, well, let's pray. Since we talked about prayer, we should pray. And just dedicate the rest of the day as we go to the Lord and whatever you have doing as a family. Father, thank you for the heavy artillery of our spiritual warfare. And Lord, this covers all the pieces because it has to be anointed up with the prayer. All the pieces, whether it's the truth, the belt of truth, the feet that have the gospel, the shield of faith, it doesn't matter what it is. They all need to be covered with prayer. And because all the armor is you, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Lord, we need to put you on every day because you are these pieces, and especially the prayer, because it says you offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. Lord, thank you for being human for us. Thank you. And Lord, we do pray that we know that prayer releases your power. We know that prayer lightens our load. We know that prayer needs to be based on your word and not our experiences, that it brings peace as we trust in you, that it's the remedy for our weariness and discouragement. It's a sure cure for anxiety. So help us to remember that this is not the last thing we do. It's the first thing that we do. And that it's the key to the day and the lock on the night. Help us to start and finish our day with prayer. Lord, we ask you to bless the tithes and offerings. And Father, you know, we have never not paid a bill. We have never not done a lot of these things because you've always provided. And we're very thankful, Lord, even in a small little congregation like this, that we can give to people like India. And we just really pray, Father. I know we all go and have our times away and this and that, but I just do pray, Lord, because we've talked about tithe before. Lord, it's actually a blessing, and we get blessed, and we don't do it because we get blessed, but we do get blessed when we do that. And we just pray, Father, that our checkbook, if we were to open up our checkbook, that it would reveal a lot about you and not about us. In Jesus' name, amen.